debt and one here, so we argue every time about what side I need to be on. I guess it gets worse as you get older. Raise a little bit.
Doesn't get you better.
My heart can't see when I pause to remember how hard it feels. It's but a stepping stone along the trail that's winding always.
Good morning.
Morning, Brother Gary.
It's good to see you, and I hope you've come to worship this morning. Have your Bibles turned to Matthew chapter 26. While you're turning, I know that some of you may get offended the way I pick on sin. It's not a one-sided thing. I'll tell you about a story that happened at our house not too long. We've been trying to remodel our house, build a little addition on our house, and we have crammed a 6-month building project into 5 years. We're still working. Early on, I take care of my cousin, my first cousin. She's more like a sister. My mom and my grandmother raised her, and she was about 14 when I was born, and she kind of babysitted me as I grew up, so we're more like brother and sister than we are, and she's real demanding, very intelligent lady. And she had a dog named Tutu, and when we started this building project, I was out on the backhoe digging footers and putting in a septic system. And I had concrete workers coming. I had to be ready for them. And so I'm out there digging. And she calls and she says, Gary did. My mother, she was the only two that called me by both names. Gary did. I need you real quick. And I said, what's the matter, Mary? And she said, Tutu's really sick. I need to get him to the bed. And I said, well, I'm really busy today. Is there any way that he could wait till tomorrow? And she said, no, 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 he's got to go right now. He's got to. I said, I'll be there just a minute. I jumped in the old farm truck and over to her house I went, and the dog was really sick. It was in convulsions. And I wrapped it up in a rug and put it in the back of the truck, run over to Young's Animal Hospital. And the doctor took one look at the dog, and he said, my, Miss Mary, said, how old is this dog? She said, well, it's full grown when I got him, and I've had it 17 years. I don't know how old that is in dog years, but he was tired and worn out. Vet said, Mary, there's nothing I can do for this animal. It needs to be put out. And she's on a fixed income, don't have much money. And I said, Miss Mary, I'll take the dog out to the farm, and I'll take care of the business and bury it. And she cried. She said, oh, no, no, you're too good a man to ask to kill this poor little dog. And so she had to give him a shot, put him down. I said, Mary, please don't pay them $85 to put this dog in a bag and throw him in the dumpster. I'll take him out to the farm and bury him. And she finally agreed to that. Well, the doctor takes him back, comes out, he's got him in a little cardboard casket. I didn't see one. I took him out, put him in the back of the truck, and took her home. Now, this was in the summer 5 years ago when it was extremely hot, 103 or 4 degrees. And I jumped right back on the backhoe, went back to work. Tutu laid in the cardboard casket all day in the back of my truck. About dark, Sarah said, what in the world are you going to do? You can't go to the farm this time of night, stagger around over there trying to bury this dog. And I said, well, I have an idea. So I just backed my backhoe around where I was going to put a garage anyway. And I dug a 5-foot deep hole, put Tutu in the bottom of it, covered him up. He's buried in the middle of that garage. But now Mary would have had a fit if she had known I buried Tutu in the garage. And so 2 weeks passed, and she called one morning and she said, Gary, and I said, what are you doing? I said, not a whole lot this morning. What do you need? She said, I need to visit two toothbrushes. By this time, the concrete's already poured. And I said, Mary, give me about 45 minutes. I'll be over and get you in about 45 minutes. And I ran to the farm, took a mattock, and healed me up the grave. Put a little stone, threw a little hay over it. Be sure your sins will find God.
Amen.
So, I take Miss Mary over to the grave. She stands at the end of the grave. And she raised both hands. And she said, ooh, I can feel his spirit. He likes it here. My fault, you're good. He's 3.5 miles away from my house. And you can feel his spirit all the way over. I take Mary back home. This is where the plot thickens. I'm almost back home and Sarah calls me. She says, where you at? And I said, I'm almost home. I'm taking Mary home. I'm almost home. And she said, you've got a problem. And I said, what kind of problem? Well, since you've dropped her off, she has decided that Tutu would like it a little closer up to the wood. My eyes stood out on the stick. There was nothing there to move. And had I not heard, I heard my son laughing in the background. And I said, both you all going to limp when I get there. You get in the car, Mary. That I was going to have to move something that wasn't there. But there's a good lesson there. Be sure your sins will find you out. You tell a little fib, you know, and you got to prop it up with 2 or 3 more. This morning, we want to approach a scripture that I think, in my opinion, that every last one of us can find our laundry mark in. There's not a person here this morning that will escape this room, because we all fit somewhere in the formula of this passage. Matthew chapter 6, and I don't do this very often, but I'm going to let you, it's a rather lengthy reading, so I'm going to have you just sit where you're at. And you and your mind can stand in reverence for the reading, but in body you can sit right still. Matthew chapter 26, let your eyes fall down to verse 20. And they did eat, he said. Verily I say unto you, that one of you shall betray me. And they were exceedingly sorry, and began every one of them to say unto him, Lord, is it I? And he answered and said, he that dippeth his hand with me in the dish, the same shall betray me. Now go down to verse 33. Peter answering said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet will I never be offended. Jesus said unto him, verily, surely I say unto you, that this night before the cock crows, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter saith unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the other disciples. Then cometh Jesus with them unto the place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, James and John, and began to sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me. And he went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as my will, but as thou. And he cometh unto his disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again a second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me, except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them again, asleep, for their eyes were heavy. Now down to verse 47. While he yet spake to Judas, or as he yet spake, lo, Judas, one of the 12, came, and with him a great multitude with swords and staves from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Now he that betrayeth him gave them a sign, saying, Whomsoever I shall kiss, that same is he. Hold him fast. And forthwith he came to Jesus and said, Hail, Master, and kissed him. And Jesus said unto him, Friend, wherefore art thou come? Then came they and laid hands on Jesus and took him away. Let's pray. Master, speak to our hearts this morning. Help us to identify who we are in Christ. And we'll thank you and praise you for what you do in Christ's name. As we look at this, we find four groups of people here. Now, Jesus, of course, being the master, he took with him there in the garden, he took the whole group, and he left eight of them there at the entrance to the garden. He took three others a little further away, and then he himself went in a little further yonder and was alone. As we see this, we see four groups of people. There was those, as we look at this, I call it the group that makes it happen. Peter. Remember what he said? Lord, these other folks, they may give up on me. If it takes me even to death, I'll not turn back. I'll be right there with you. Now always remember this. Jesus is omniscient. He knows everything. He knows before it happens. And he told Peter, he said, No, Peter, now you really believe that in your heart. But before the cock crows in the morning, you will have denied me 3 times. You think that's what you're going to do. But Peter reveals himself. He was the first to speak. He always was. And he said, No, my opinion is, I can do it. I can do it. And in his opinion, he looked around at the rest of them and he said, You can do it. Now let's get going. And he was that kind of, remember, after Jesus had been crucified, buried, and resurrected, he wasn't meeting with them then from day to day, and he just showed himself occasionally. And Peter looked at the rest of them hiding out in the upper room, and he looked at the rest of them, and he said, I'm going fishing. I wasn't fishing like we go fishing. What he was declaring to them, in my opinion, this thing's over. God had called him, the Lord Jesus had called him from the seashore attending his nets. And what Peter is declaring, I'm going back and take up my old vocation. I'm going back fishing. And what did the rest of the apostles say? We'll just go with you. And so they loaded up. And so Peter was the personality of the attitude. I can do it. You can do it. So let's get going. And of course, we fault Peter regularly for being the one that did stand outside Pilate's hall and deny the Lord Jesus three times. But isn't it strange that the Lord would use the very one that denied him publicly to preach that great sermon of Pentecost?
That's right.
Amen?
That's right.
Because Peter, he knew, Peter, his intent was, I can, you can, let's get going. I like to be around those kind of people. Mm. Amen? I call them my positive friends. I like to be around them because they come and they say, let's get going. We can do it. I can do it. You can do it. Let's get going.
Right.
I like to be around a positive, a very optimistic person. But there's a second group there. Now, we find that second group is made up of two men, James and John. And I call them the watchers. The watchers. Now, their attitude was, well, I could. And maybe you could. But we're not sure that it will. So we're just standing kind of in the limelight. We're not optimistic. We're not pessimistic. We're just somewhere there in between. I could or you could. But their final statement is, maybe one of these days we will. Churches always have that group, you know. That first group's out there in the front saying, we can do it. Let's go. Let's get going. And that second group saying, well, we possibly could. I could, you could, maybe all of us could. But, let's just put it off a day or two. Let's wait a while. I'm not completely pessimistic about it. But I'll just wait and see. Wait and see group. If it pans out, we'll do it. I don't care what you start doing at Baptist Church. You've got that group.
That's right.
You've got the group. I can, you can. Let's get going. Pardon. Got that group that says, I could. Maybe you could, but let's just wait a while and see how it pans out. Thirdly, you have that third group. And that's eight disciples, those eight apostles he left back at the gate. Now, they're a different sort. And the Lord knew. He knows all of us. Now, the Lord knows where we fit in this story. Amen?
That's right.
He knows more about you than you know about yourself.
That's right.
Now, this group is the group that says, well, I can't do it. And I don't believe you can do it. You ever heard that group? I can't do it. I don't think you can do it. And so he left them there at the garden gate. And their final question will always be, and I remember the first group saying, I can, you can, let's get going. Second group saying, well, we probably could, I could, you could, but just wait a while. This third group saying, well, I can't, you can't. And then their last famous words is, who in the world brought this up in the first place?
Yeah.
Amen. I can't do it. You can't do it. Pardon me. So why are we even discussing this? My mind. I've seen God do so much around those kind of people. Mm-hmm. I had a fellow in the church on Sunday, and when I went there as pastor, right in the center of the ceiling was a water stain as big as a bathtub up on the ceiling, just like you've got. Big old brown and yellow stain up on the ceiling, and I knew it had been a water leak. And I've been pastor about a month and a half, 2 months, and I said, fellas, have you taken care of the water leak you had? They said, oh, we don't have a water leak. I said, well, certainly you do. Look up there at the ceiling. They all looked, and this one fellow said, oh, that's taken care of. And I said, well, that's good. When did you take care of it? He said, all said, it was leaking around the chimney, and we patched around the chimney. Now, I was living in the parsonage that overlooked the church, and I've looked at that church every morning for a couple of months now, and I could not remember a chimney being in the roof. And I said to this gentleman, I said, chimney? I don't remember seeing a chimney up there. Oh, it's not now. We tore it off in 1953. This was 1983. And then it dawned upon me. You mean that you tore that chimney off that caused the water spot on your ceiling, and you haven't addressed this painting of this ceiling in all these years? You know, he said, that ceiling's 16 foot high. I can't get up there. You can't get up there. And why are we talking about this anyway? You see what I'm talking about? I can't, you can't. And who brought this up? Why are we even talking about it? You haven't. Then there's that last group. You know, there are those who say, I can, you can, let's get going. Then there's that group that says, I could, maybe you could, but we'll probably do it one of these days. Let's put it off. Then that group that says, I can't, you can't, who in the world brought this up in the first place? Then you have the group that says, I'm going to do everything in my power to stop what's going on. As Judas, what was he doing? While the rest of them was out praying with the master, he was off over there collecting 30 pieces of silver to betray the Lord Jesus. And what he was saying, now listen, what he was saying is, I'm going to put this thing to rest. I'm going to stop it and chop it right where it's at. I'm going to chop the wagon right here. I'm going to put a scotch under the wheel. It's going to stop right here. We completed renovation at one of the churches I pastored in. New wiring, new plumbing, new floors, new ceiling, new walls, new furniture, and this one man fought tooth and toenail from beginning to end. We had our dedication service, and his family didn't go to our church, and so he had all his brothers and sisters in, and he looked like a double-necked rooster. Chest thrown out, walking around, and he was telling everybody, come look what we've done. And he had fallen to and told them from beginning to end. So all of us find our laundry mark. Now the good news is you can change groups. Amen?
Right.
If I just left you there and you don't fit in the I can, you can, let's get going group. Or I could, you could, but let's wait a while. Or I can't, you can't. Who in the world brought this up anyway? Or the group that just tries every way in the world to stop it dead in its track. You can change groups as you choose. You can't? Why should you? Just move up a little closer to the hem of his garment.
Amen.
Right.
That's all you have to do. You see, as you change positions with the master, you change positions in the groups.
Right.
When you get close enough to the master, you'll join that group that says, I can, you can, let's get going.
That's right.
Let's get it started. What are we waiting on? The further we get away from the master, the more we want to join that last group and say, let's just stop this thing. Let's just put it to rest right now. Let's just pray. Amen?
That's right.
So my heart's desire, I've never been as close as I want to be to Jesus.
That's right.
There's always a little something. And it don't have to be giant. It can be a very, matter of fact, you know what Proverbs says? It's the elephants that spoil the vineyard. You never read that in the Bible, did you?
No.
It's the hippopotamus that spoils the vineyard. Or maybe that big long-necked giraffe. He's the one that spoils the vineyard. You know what the Bible says? It's that little fox. It's hard to spot a fox.
Mm-hmm.
Because he sneaks around very quietly. Never up more, very quietly through the brush. And that little sin that doth so easily sits at us, keeps us just a little ways away from the hymn of the master's garment.
Mm-hmm.
All the time. I've never been as close as I want to be to Jesus. I want to get so close that my flesh and this old world just has no luster left at all. Amen?
Amen.
This old world has a way of dragging me down.
That's true.
My flesh has a way of dragging me down.
Amen.
If I can get close enough to the master, I'll be just like Peter. I can, you can. Let's get going.
That's right.
Amen.
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 Where do you find your laundry mark this morning? You're there in one of those groups. Every one of you is there somewhere in one of these groups. Now, I don't know you well enough yet to preach directly to you. But you know who you are. You want to change groups. This is the time to change groups. Now that last group, you see, Judas Iscariot wasn't the saved man. He was hanging out with saved people, but he wasn't saved. And his greatest need was to come to know the Lord Jesus in the three partnership. I'm going to ask you to bow your head right where you're at. I'm going to ask you to sincerely consider this morning. Where am I at in this group? Where do I fit in this equation? Am I one that is always ready to say, I can, you can, let's get going? I could, or you could, but let's just wait a while. Let's put it off long if we can. Or I can, you can. Why'd you bring this up in the first place? Or that group just trying to choke it out and stop it up where it's at? Change comes difficult. Change comes hard. But thanks be unto God, change can come.
Amen.
Master, right now in the quietness of this moment, as lost men and women, I don't know who they are, but as they consider you as their personal Savior, may this be the hour that they decide that they no longer want to fit in that group that's lost, opposed to kingdom work. Lord, I just pray for that group that kind of grown bitter. I can't, you can't. What'd you bring it up for? I pray, Father, that this day they will see themselves and want to change groups. Lord, I just pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you obey this invitation. Every belief, every heart, every soul will be touched. May they do that which is needed in their life. In Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
As we stand and sing an invitation hymn, who wants to be first today? I want to be saved. I want to be in that group. I want to be in the group that's following the Master. I'm not trying to stop it. I want it to go. What about you? Would you come? As we sing.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's as simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. C, confess Him as your Savior, and you can pray a prayer like this: Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on website, WindsCreekBaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.